Today is Daf Lamed Hey. So last year we were discussing the inyan of a mashkon taking collateral. So, for example, the date, the loan period has ended. He wants to take a collateral after some sort of mashkon, and we said it has to be done by way of Beit Din. He has to be chutz tamod, and also certain things have to be returned. Okay, we explained that last year. Also, Sashi Rabban Gamliel that says really it's only has to return it for the first 30 days because that's the time. I didn't bring this last time, but that's a parasha I saw just recently. That's the time usually Beit Din finalize things, and because after that point is that when he can start collecting his debt, because the time of the debt has expired, so he can take it from his property, from the mashkon, or from or land really. So let's have a look at now. Lamed, this is the Gemara. Ktiv benizikin, and it says by nizikin damage asher gova meidit. There, if you're someone causes physical damage, then he can collect it from idit. Idit is from the choicest of lands. Why? It says meitav sadehu. So the whole pasuk is kiv ya'ar ish. So it would come from the choices of lands. And it says by Malve here, we'll explain how this works soon. There's a bit of a discussion in the Gemara coming up, but you would govam mebein on it. When it comes to this collateral, you collect it from bein on it. It says, Shene Malve ish asher noseh bo, etc. The rest of the pasuk is. That's referring to taking out the collateral. How it's learned from the pasuk, we'll get to that soon. Lamdu, therefore, we can say karkaot, we can learn from mashkon. What does it mean, lamdu karkaot mi mashkon? Meaning, the chachamim learned karkaot by malveh from mashkon, from the taltalin. Meaning, when it comes to collecting a debt, that debt comes from where? Comes from Beinonit, just as we say by a mashkon, it comes from Beinonit. Now, how do we learn from the pasuk comes from Beinonit? We'll get to that soon. However, when it comes to the, and they simply go, and it says, Udechavata, you can see it works the other way around as well. You'll know mashkonot mikarkaot. So, mashkon mikarkaot here means when it comes to nezikin, if you're going to take a mashkon for the payment, also it would come from. No, just to the Marfulda, he says, Ma karko mi idit hachinami, mashkonot mi idit would have come from the best of his property. Kol ma kifyam mi nizko mi idit ha meaning he might have multiple different items you take from the nicest or the best of his metaltalim, in the case of a mashkon for nizikin. So in other words, a nizikin learns from Lover, and Lover learns from nizikin, but they're actually two different domains where we're learning. One is collecting payment, one is taking collateral, that they can be learned from, if you like, both, one to the other. So again, by a when it's a collateral or collecting from land that it collects from Beinonit for a malveh, and when it comes to Nizikin, it comes from always the best. So let's have a look. Perush Rabbi Simlai, Devar Torah, this din that it takes from Beinonit is actually learned me Devar Torah. How so? Perush Rabbi saying Devar Torah sheish. Why? Because when it says Bachutz Ta'amod, who's it referring to? It's referring to the Shliach Beit Din, because the person not allowed to stand outside collecting himself. That he's meant to go and collect from Bein on it. Why? Because Shimi Kanes Hamalvi, if the Malva is going to go inside, what's he going to take out? He's going to take the best. Yafet. Vime Kanes Alov, if the Lov is going to go and collect this cloud, this Mashkon, he's going to take Motzi Hara. He's going to take the worst. Ella, the fact that the Torah says you should shliach Beitin. You could imply from this, din, it's nichnas v'govav beinonit. He's going to collect from the beinonit. So he understands the fact that it's collected the mashkon, and by extension, therefore, also when you're collecting from the karka, that's really midin Torah. That because again, we learned from the fact that mashkon is collected by the shleach beitin, he's going to take the, if you like, the beinonit, the medium. So he's not going to take the best, he's not going to take the worst. It's going to be somewhere in between. As opposed to the malve or the love, which would take whichever suited them the best. Okay. However, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel says absolutely not. Dvar Torah, this whole pasuk is actually referring to halove that the anichnas. Shneim marva ish asher ata noseh bo yotzi alechet avod. He's going to go in and take out the collateral. Now, if that's the case, we'll explain this how this works in a moment. Then. I mean, in the terms of more detail, but if that's the case, we're talking about midvar Torah based on the logic we're saying that dvar Torah you're meant to collect from the ziborit, I mean the worst of land when it comes to a loan. Ah, so I just show the Pnei Moshe explains a bit more detail here. It says, "Upali Rabbi Simai argues, Alovekai, he's referring to the lover, the borrower. Madarko, he's going to take the worst of these items. Midoraita. Ella, so, but therefore, then how do we get to the point where we said before, the when it comes to lovi collects from the bain on it? Ah, that's Chachamim, shetiknu, shiye balchov gova bibeinu, it's like an Chachamim, mishum nilat delet bifnei alavim. That we don't want any deterrent from people to give out loans. The concern was, is Chachamim said, that if we rely on Din Torah, that the person can only collect from the Ziborit, the creditor can only collect from the Ziborit to collect his debts, then these people that want to lend out money, they're going to think that, forget it, it's not worth my while. And economies run when money is liquid. We need people to be able for loans. We need the people to be able to borrow from one another. They didn't want that deterrent, so therefore they build it up midirabbanan up to the fact that the malveh can collect from the bein on it. Okay, fine. So that's what we've seen a machloket here between Bisora Bishmal or the Brayton Bishmal and what Rabbi Simai said, whether collecting from bein on it is midin Torah. Or it is actually me, if you like, midrabanan. That's very important. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Amrav la, Tani Taman, it says there, Chavol bebeitin, Shelo bebeitin minayin, meaning, yeah, just to explain this carefully here, that Chavol tichbol, meaning the din of you have to return these certain items, for example, that which makes parnasa for and the like. We know that's when the beitin come and collect this collateral. Shelo bebeitim minayin. How do we know if it wasn't collected by beitim and the person himself came to collect it? Talmud lomar im chabol tichbol. So you learn both. So in other words, both circumstances, the din, the special law that you have to return this collateral, as we've been explaining, like we learned in the Mishnah, is on this regular basis, that which it needs at nighttime, that which uses into the daytime, during the daytime, that is actually by both situations, whether it was collected by beitim or it was the person, the creditor himself went to take it. Now he's not allowed to. But even if you went ahead and did it, that the din still applies. So I'll just show you something very interesting, the Chabol Tichbol, the way that Panim Moshe says here. He says, when it says bebeit din, shelo bebeit din minayin, he sort of works it slightly differently. Kolomar, ilo abaktiv ela tachbol, if I only said tachbol on its own, hava minash de shelo bebeit din ma'iri. I would have thought that it was referring to a case where the person himself took it. Aval, if it ela hamal, ena ela malveh hu nichshin nechnas, the malveh went to collect it. Or by his zero Torah, and the Torah came to if you warn, that's when he says you better return it. However, you might think that if Beit Din went ahead and did it, maybe you don't. Oh, it applies to both cases, which is not exactly the flow of the Gemara we said, but that's the way he explains it. Now the Gemara adds, Mishkanu shelo bereshut. What happens if, like, once again, a person came and took the mashkon, the creditor came and took from the borrower the mashkon without reshut Beit Din, then over al kol shem v'shem sheyesh po, is over on all the lavin. I'll show you the marfulda here. Ho'il, since he went anyway and wasn't allowed to by Beit Din to take it, he's over on all the isurim, as we said, of lo tavo beito lavot avoto, the, which is interesting. In other words, you may think that since the Torah said chavol tachbol, that since it include even if it was shalom baiting, you have to return it. The Torah had to go, what the Gemara is teaching you is nonetheless, it's still a prohibition for you to go and do it. In other words, even though the Torah addressed the situation where someone came himself, not brishut baiting, to take this collateral, to say, oh, make sure you return it, you might think, okay, maybe you can go ahead and do so. No, he's not allowed to go ahead and do so. Okay, because there's an issur that only brishut baiting you can come and take this collateral. Or the shalach baiting comes and takes it. And nonetheless, so it works both ways now. But even if he does do it, if the issur, then he still has the dinim of lo tachbol, of having to return it. Okay, so that's why you needed the two to work together. Let's continue. Now, Amar Avla, hu garam la'atzmo la'avor al kol shem v'shem sheyesh lo. Meaning, in other words, hu garam, this is the way I basically just explained the Marafulda. Afagad Rabbi Kra, I'll sort of read the Ruah Matfil that I just read, which is on this piece. Meaning what he's adding is, despite the fact that Torah, as I just explained, says that if he takes it himself, he has to return it. Nonetheless, hu garam la'atzmo, he's over on kol shem v'shem if he goes in and does it himself without berishut. Okay. Mishkenu v'chazar v'natan lo midat ha'din bi'ado shi'e gova minechasim mishubadin. Now, this is an interesting case here. Let's say again, he took the mashkon and then returned it as is required. And nonetheless, he can still collect from Nechasim Meshubadim. So why would you think otherwise that he couldn't? Because again, he can collect his debt from Nechasim Meshubadim. So I'll just explain. So this is the Marfulda, and I'll show you the Ribas. Marfulda is, you might think that even though it says you cannot collect from Nechasim Meshubadim, meaning actual land that this borrower owned and say sold to other people, as long as he has other property as a disposal. The chiddush of the sugya is that only if he hasn't taken a mashko and returned it. But once he's taken a mashko and returned it, that is what the Marful that explains it. That he no longer has to take the precedence of going to this nechasim b'nei chorin. However, the Ribas plays it a bit differently. He says, in other words, you might think that since he took the mashkon, it's as if he's collected, and now he no longer has the capacity to go to Nechasim Meshubadim. Since he's returned it, we're back to, if you like, Al Pidin Torah, he's back to square one, where he can still come and collect his debt from the Nechasim Meshubadim. Now, despite the fact he took something as a collateral, then it's not considered as if he's mashgoveh atachov, since he's returned it, because it's just a collateral, Pidin Torah, you have to return it every so often, depending on what that item is, he still can collect from Nechasim Meshubadim. Okay, yeah. Now the Gemara says, "V'im machzir lo le'ezer davar le'ezer shemishkeno hu mimashkeno." Now, if he's returning, what benefit was there of him taking a mashkon? So the Gemara says, "Perish Rebbe shemata voshmita v'yashmit or shemiyamut hala v'nimtzama tatalim biyad hayorshin." This is a very interesting chart. So the first explanation is you know that when shmita comes along, it absolves all debts. However, if you take a mashkon, there's no issue of lo yigos because you've already effectively have something in your hand, and therefore shmita doesn't absolve the debt. So even though once you've taken the mashkon, even if you have to return it, as we said, intermittently, then it's still considered if you have a mashkon in your hand, and you have the advantage now that shmita is not going to absolve the debt, even though he's not holding on to it at this point in time. That's advantage number one. The other explanation is or shemiyamot hayorshim, if the yorshim pass away and he's got something to collect the debt, it says here. And he has his metaltalin in the hands of Yorshim from which he can collect the debt. Now, Tani, Chovel Ksut Yom Balaila, the Chosut Balaila B'Yom. And this relates to what we were saying before, that if it's clothing he needs during the daytime clothing, you take from the night, nighttime clothing you take during the day. Matsiv Ksut Yom B'Yom, but he has to return the daytime clothing during the day, the Chosut Laila B'Laila. Kar, if it's a pillar, Basadin, and a sheet, then Shadarkan Lechasot B'Laila, it'd be covered into nighttime. Chovlim b'yom, you collect during the day and return it during the night. Kadom machrishat ram lasol b'hem malacha b'yom. If it's his working tools, an axe, a plow, that these are the things he works during the day. Chovlim b'layla, you take it. Chovlan, sorry, b'layla, you take it at night and return them during the day. So Amar Ravla, zimnim tifta ahen kra, lo tavo alav ha-shemesh. Now, what's interesting, the pasuk is lo tavo alav ha-shemesh is. But I just explained the pasuk. Lo tavo Hashem b'yom titen scharo, v'lo tavo alav ha-shemesh. That lot of Ola Shemesh, we've discussed the sugi before, returning the money. That you can explain lot tavo as being lot tidnach, as in tizrach, alav Shemesh, meaning sunrise. Vizimim tiftar, you can actually refer to lot tishka, or titama here, like the tishka alav Shemesh. Dichtiv, and how do we know that? Because when it comes to the avot, we know hashev tashiv lo et avot kevo hashemesh, that means by sunrise, im male hashemesh. Ad bo hashemesh, the other pasuk is tishiveno lo, that refers to those items during the day, ad mam tishimsha. So you see, tavo alav hashemesh in our context, ba'avot, can refer to different psukim, sunrise or sunset. So too, when it applies back to paying the worker on time, it can sometimes bring sunrise or it can be sunset, depending on the circumstances which we learned previously in the previous sugya. Like recently, we talked about paying wages on time. Okay, yeah. Let's now learn Halacha Yod Gimel. It says Almana, if you're talking a widow, with a ben ani a ben ashira, whether she's wealthy or not, in mashkinot tashnema lo techvol beged almana, because the Torah says not to take her collateral. Now, hachovel rechaim, if you take someone's something that they use to produce food, which is their mill, raim recharecha, which is the upper and lower mill, so the stone and the bottom thing that crushes everything, bilvad. Sorry, start again. Then hachover rechaim over, but so I skipped a bit. So hachover rechaim over, but lo taseh. Rechaim u'mushnei kalim, rechaim u'tu kalim. Lo tafayim rechaim v'reched, because of the upper and bottom stones, and they are covered by this love. It's not just the rechaim recha alone. Amru ella kol davar shosim ochel nefesh. Anything that produces food, shneimar ki nefesh hu chovel. Okay, so anything that's ochel nefesh is a special avera that you're not allowed to take those things. So let's go back to the case of almana. Almana beni aniyah beni shira in meshkinotah, because we said the special isur min haTorah not to take a collateral from an almana. So Tanya got actually machloket in a brayta. Almana beni aniyah beni shira in meshkinotah shneimar lo tachvol beged almana achad aniyah v'achad shira div Rebbe Meir. So we just learned now that the isur of taking a mashkon from almana, respective of a financial situation, that is a position of Rebbe Meir. However, Rebbe Yehuda's cholak says aniyah in meshkinotah, when it's come to a poor woman, then in mashkinota, ashira, but a wealthy one, mashkinota, the in machzira, mishvitoch shaba etzla, mesiat shemra. So what he's explaining is that when it comes to a wealthy woman, you can take a mashkon, but you don't have to return it, because we don't want to motzi shemra. We don't want to create a circumstances where people see that there's this man frequenting this house of this single woman and create stories as a result. What we learn from here is that's really according to Rabbi Yehuda behind the whole issue. Because when it comes to Ashira, it sounds like from the Pasha Pshat of the Sugya, it sounds like that there is no issue. Since there's no requirement to return it, you don't run into the problem of creating stories because he takes it once and that's it. Okay. However, the issue is with the Aniyah, we'd have to return on a daily basis. That's where this scenario would be wrong. That's, I think, the simple understanding of the Sugya. Okay. Let's continue. Hachovel Zug Shel Saparim. Now, Shuk Shel Saparim is a... sounds like sug scissors of saparim. Saparim is a hairdresser. Then overa zebif now over zemitzot. Since scissors were made of two different knives, nowadays you have kitchen scissors like that, where to put in the washing, you sort of take them apart. It's basically two effective knives. So then you'd be over on each knife on its own. Chovel echad mehem, to one of them, ain't overa el al echad mehem. Now it's interesting. Apparently the Rosh finds this difficult because this is too removed from being a devash osel necha nefesh. It's not also a necha nefesh, it's a hairdresser's scissors. So therefore he says sug shemisparaim, which is a bit like, I think we have it nowadays, like chicken scissors we have in the kitchen, that makes it a devash ochel nefesh. Yeah, and similarly, hamemashken tzemed parot, this is a pair of cows that you usually plow with, or ver al zebif natzmol, ver zebif natzmol, then each of them, there's two isurim being violated. Just like we had rechaim v'rechev, that even though it's a one mil, the two components, as the Torah says, one is chayv for each component. Mishken achad mehem, if you took one of them, in oval ela al achad mehem, and then also even just for one component of it, it would be over on this isur. Now, what's interesting here, the Pnei Moshe says, why when it comes to tzemed rechem, tzemed parot, because it's klei ochel nefesh. Now, if you're talking about plowing for the sake of planting, again, it seems to be very removed. So that's why the Rabbeinu Tam says we're talking about much later stage, when you've got the tzemen, not for plowing, but for dash. It's actually threshing. It's much closer to the food preparation, if you like, and therefore it makes a shel ochel nefesh. Okay, let's learn. This, with that, we say, Hadran lach perak ha-makav ha-sadeh, Hadran lach perak ha-makav ha-sadeh, Hadran lach perak ha-makav ha-sadeh. Next case, ha-bayit va'aliyah shel shnayim. So simple understand, we've got a bayit, which is a normal house, and aliyah is an upper floor, like an attic, if you like, but really it's like upper floor. They belong to two different people. Marfulda says, for example, Achim Shechalku, two brothers that divided it. One got the bayit, one got the aliyah. And it naflu and it falls down. Shneim, they both divide the Eitzim, Avanim, and Afar, all the material within this building they would divide amongst themselves. However, Ro'in et Elu Avanim Ra'ui Lishaber, if you can sort of work out which of these Avanim, these stones, I mean, if there are a number that are broken, if you can assess by way of how this house collapsed, which are ones likely to break, then you say, okay, the broken ones come from you. We'll see what the different situations in a moment. And that comes from your account, right? If, say, someone recognizes, oh, these are clearly my stones because I did a mural on my wall and I can see the painting on it or something like that, then notlan, he would take those stones and it comes from the fi cheshbon. He doesn't get those stones as extra. They come from his, if you like, his account. Okay, there's what to explain in this Mishnah. What do you mean you can recognize stones? Which ones are broken by the way it falls? The Gemara now explains, Tani, Nichmar Ketanur, if the house collapsed inwards, so it just collapsed downwards and inwards, then, change of gears, Hatachnon Urishaber. Then, since the top stones didn't have very far to fall, and it seems like the house collapsed inwards, meaning the bottom one seemed to be crushed and collapsed as a result, Then we say, okay, the broken, then we can assess that the broken ones that come off the account, if you like, of the person who owned the bayit and not the aliyah. If, however, nafal lachutz, if they've been collapsed outwards, like towered over, then the ones at the top had a very far way to fall. So therefore, it's likely those ones, ha'elyonot, not goes to change here. Say, right, well, the other ones likely if you're broken. Okay. Let's say someone recognized some of the stones. Notlan, he can take like we explained. What the Gemara is saying now is what it appears, if you're saying that again, by way of the fact that the top that we can assume, if they let's say the building fell outwards, and you're saying that it's likely all the top stones, all broken stones belong to the person who owned the aliyah. You're saying that it's quite possible that all of them will nafal mitzad echad. Meaning you can associate, even though we've got some sort of mixture, that it's possible to say that we can say that all of them belong to one person. So the Gemara says, yes, that's indeed the case. Because you'll see elsewhere, this takes us to a completely different sugya, back all the way to Masechta Damai, which is as follows. It says, Tamantaninan, mea tevel. Let's say you've got a mixture of 100 tevel and mea chulin, 100 chulin, mixed together. Now the problem is, I need to metaken the tevel. Because the mea tevel and chulin, no one's able to do anything with it. So how do I metaken this? What do I have to do? Or mea tevel or mea meiser. Sorry, the back step. No, tell mea ve'achat. Oh, then you have to take out 101 to the side, and then I'll be able to solve the problem. Why so? Because once I've taken 100, if I've only taken 100, it's possible that by some miraculous chance I took out all the chulin. I'm able to metaken anything. What I could do if I take 101, then therefore I know for sure that that one, if you like, at least one, I should say, is tevel. So therefore, what I can do now is I can say that a tenth of the tevel, wherever it is, including the one that is now for sure tevel in the selection I've taken, is Maaser Rishon. And then I can say that now one is now Trumat Maaser on that Maaser Rishon. So that's a way of attacking the problem. Now, we're assuming, very importantly, for this whole sugya, Marafulda says at the very end, that Truma Gdol has been sorted out. My only real concern now is really the Truma Maaser and the Maaser Rishon. So once I've done that, I've taken 101, and now for sure somewhere in this 101 is really Truma Gdol. I've sorted out that problem. What I do now is I sell the whole bunch to a kohen, and but he doesn't have to pay for the one Truma Maaser that's really belonged to him, due to him. Okay. Next case is what if I've got mea tevel? But the whole point is, I can't. Re it's the reason why I have to go over 100 because it's possible that every one of the 100 I first took is chulin, which is exactly parallel to what we're saying here. That even though all the wood bricks that are broken, and again, because it fell outwards, I can assume that there were all the broken ones from the top half, and Nebuch, the guy at the top half, gets the aliyah, gets all the broken stones. Okay? So I can make that, we can work with that assumption. Next. Umea tevel or mea meiser. What if I've got 100 tevel and 100 meiser rishon mixed together? How do I fix that problem? Once again, you're taught notel mea vecha. I take 101. What happens when I take 101? How does that solve anything? Because in this situation, my first step is to say that one that's with it, that is for sure tevel, is meiser rishon amongst wherever the other meiser rishon is, the other tenth that I'm with my tevel. Now, once I've done that, my mixture is either going to be one meiser with the rest of my meiser rishon, etc., and or with all the other meiser rishon from the other group. So once I've got that, I've got no problem because at that stage I can take what I need to take is 11 of these meiser rishons to make a trumat meiser. Why? One of the trumat meiser for the tevel, and the other 10. Meiser Rishon for the for the Meiser, the 100 Meiser Rishon I have. So, but in that situation, all I really needed to take was 101. Because once I take 101, and once again, the first step is to say that one extra of the Tevel is Meiser Rishon with the rest of the Meiser Rishon. Now, once I've got that, I for sure have in my mixture 11 Meiser Rishon. Either it's my 10 of my, if you like, from my Tevel, plus an extra one because it's 101 from all the Meiser Rishon in the other group. Or even if it was all Meiser Rishon in my first group, I've got one Meiser Rishon from the Tevel and the other 10 Meiser Rishon from the rest of the 100 Meiser Rishon I've got in the mixture. So for sure, got 11 mace rishon, and then I can do. Then, if you like, I can make 11 of those trumat maaser. Again, one for the tevel and 10 for the 100 mace rishon I have, and I sell the whole thing, the whole bunch, the 111 I've got to a kohen minus the 11. Okay, fine. Now Amar Rav Yossi, because he's explaining, because ima omer haTalmud Tamei, and he omer kol acholin alu biyado dimtza ilu betivlan. Which is basically the way I explained it already. I'd have to take 101 to know for certain that I've got some tevel with the either the chulin or the meiser rishon. Okay, next. Ilin tekuin. Now, in the tekuin, the way the Maraful explains, there are two ways, if you like, to construct an upper floor. One is I can simply drive the support beams from the upper floor into the wall, which is pretty much, I think, how we do it now, or I can build some sort of structure underneath it to prop it up. So in that situation, what if we got it, and then this house collapsed? So Reb Zira Amar, Ara zikik et at matinina, inine, sorry. So he says, the tachton has to build the bottom floor up. Do omer lo, the elyon can say, le tachton zakuk atolo, so you're required, you're meshubad to me to bear my floor. Okay? So in other words, he does say, I don't have to get involved in any construction until, and I don't have to contribute at all to the payment of you building up the bottom floor. Once you've built that, because you mushubad lamim from the beginning to provide support for my upper floor. However, Avla says, no, amrim, the builders would say, if you like, terehun ilin yisudeya, that they both are required. So the Maful explains, pardon me, shneim livnot, they're both, the asadot shel bait lamata. They have to both build the foundations, if you like, of the bottom house. Shigam elyon shaych b'sadot habayit, because the elyon is dependent on the foundations of the house below. Shemahani, because it helps him. Namia abayit uminasod ba'elech aratikra al hatachton. Okay, yeah, fair. Sorry, let's explain. It says uminas. I didn't read it properly. Shigam elyon shaych b'sadot. He needs the foundations of the bayit. Shemahani leila elyon. That helps elyon. Nami hayesod, the foundations, uminasod ve'elech ad ha'tikra, from the foundations until the tikra, to the roof, that's ala tachton. So it's saying that the foundations of the house itself, that is even the, if you like, the person of the aliyah, since he benefits from the foundations, he is required to contribute the foundations as well. Okay, now the Gemara says, v'dam esai l'man da'amar banai. And we've got the following seems to support the banai, the we said builders. Let's say someone's churva. The churva is, imagine a stepped property. So the churva is a ruin, and it's below the level of the property above, the chatzer of the person above. So I'll explain again. Marfuli says, okay, mechatzer. Ubone ota melamali builds above that. Ad yisora kotel, chatzer v'chach kotel, if you like, bein shnehem. So in other words, the churva builds up, and then they build, the person on the chatzer builds above it, so there's a wall, so there's no issues of hezekri between. So leomar balachatzer, balachatzer can't say, ein ani mesayim imcha rak mi yisora kotel chatziri, that I'm not going to get involved in building anything until I get to the, if you like, the level of my chatzer. He has to help from the foundations of the churva itself. So that seems to support exactly what the Banayim said. The Banayim, since he's benefiting from the yisod, from the foundations, he has to contribute to the foundations as well. Now, the Marfold has a different girsa here. He's already says tiftar at this stage. But for simplicity, I think we're just going to continue with the version of a Gemara, because I'm not sure what he else he said there. Because he sort of, he... I'll read it inside actually. He says, it's almost like rejections of proof, he says. He says, no. Since the churva is not really a proof, because without the bottom, he wouldn't be able to build above it. And the kotel of the churva is not mushubat to him. And therefore, but in our case, it's different with the cross beams where it's mushubad to him. Maybe the door is different. So, but we don't have that text in the Gemara. So I'll just continue. Next case, however, haya Haita al gabei shichim or gabei ma'arot. Let's say the person's built on top of someone's ditch or ma'ara. Eino, mean the Baal HaChatzer is not nizkak lo klum, doesn't have to contribute at all. So why would that be? So Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Rabbi Bun, Tiftar kagon inlin deraya de baishan de lo yachil ar aya bane ad de bane ilai. So I'll just explain this piece here. As the text we have at the Marafolda changes it, but then explains it like the text we have here, which is similar to Ben Moshe as well. So he explains that why in that situation do we say, even though before we said the person above has to contribute because he benefits the foundation as well, in this situation, if the person's chatzer is above some sort of a ma'aral, some underground space, he doesn't have to contribute. That is because in those situations, the underground space couldn't be built out until the top person has built his surface. Why so? It seemed to be they used to build it up, they keep him. They will build, the person who's building above will build these support structures, these arches or domes to support the top surface. So therefore, since he's built the whole support structure himself, he doesn't have to contribute to the walls that the person underneath is going to be building, because he's created this whole, if you like, support structure to build it up to support the top. So therefore, he has no need, and that was necessary, if you like, prior to. It's like upside down. Normally, we build like normally the ground floors first. Here it seems to be the upper surface is built first, based on the sort of dome structures that they had, and then it was after that the person who's going to use these makeshift underground spaces, he'll build his walls and all those other things. So because of that reason, the upper person doesn't have to contribute to that contribution at all. Okay, Mr. Setter, we'll take it from here next year. I'll tell you, have a good day.